deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. The battle over whether a Dubai-based company should take control of some U.S. port operations has turned into a political free-for-all on Capitol Hill. To sort it all out, here's correspondent Bob Fuss.
Defying President Bush, House Republicans moved forcefully to stop the Dubai takeover of U.S. ports in its tracks. Feeling the heat from voters, a committee led by Republican Jerry Lewis minutes ago voted overwhelmingly to attach a measure to kill the port deal to a bill funding the war in Iraq.
The amendment is straightforward and is a rifle shot crack to block the Dubai ports world deal only.
While House Republicans seemed almost anxious to take on the president over this, leaders in the Senate blocked an effort by Democrats to force a vote on the issue there. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
There have been arrests in a string of church fires across Alabama last month.
Their federal charges have been filed this morning. Of course, there's also possibility of other charges that would be filed.
U.S. Attorney Alice Martin under arrest, three college students who apparently set the first fires as a joke, and then more to throw investigators off their trail. President Bush was back along the Gulf Coast today surveying hurricane-damaged areas. Correspondent Mark Noller was traveling with him.
With a tool belt around his waist, it was President Bush as carpenter-in-chief, lending a hand to rebuild a house along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Climbing a somewhat wobbly ladder, he installed a light fixture but offered a familiar government disclaimer, "If it doesn't work, you can't blame it on me." He said the government needs to help the areas hit by Katrina rise up from the devastation. To that end, he said it was good to hear people hammering. Mark Noller, CBS News, New Orleans.
At the Zacharias Moussaoui sentencing trial, the jury heard testimony today from a witness who claimed Moussaoui asked a radical Islamic group to fund his flight training. Moussaoui's the only person charged in this country in connection with the September 11th attacks. Correspondent Barry Bagnata was covering.
An Islamic radical says a man called John described a dream of flying a plane into the White House. Faiz Abu Bakr Bafana, now detained in Singapore, says the man claimed he had been promised help obtaining flight training in the United States. Moussaoui, acting as his own lawyer when this testimony was videotaped, asked Bafana, "How do you identify this person?" "He looks exactly like you," Bafana replied. "There's no doubt it's you." Moussaoui has admitted training to slam a plane into the White House, but claims that wasn't related to September 11th.
Moussaoui says he hoped to be involved in a second wave of attacks on the U.S. Former Texas Governor Ann Richards says she has cancer of the esophagus. The 72-year-old Richards was diagnosed yesterday. She'll undergo treatment at a cancer center in Houston. She was governor from 1991 through 95. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished up 25 points. And the NASDAQ Composite Index was off less than a point. This is CBS News.
This year, you'll drive to 42 baseball practices, 3 doctor's appointments, 4 parent-teacher conferences, 22 sleepovers, 6 birthday parties, 15 trips to the video store, 8 dentist appointments, 31 haircuts, 29 trips to the mall, 2 trips to grandma's, 17 soccer practices, and 1 piano recital. With your schedule, you rely on your car for a lot. So make sure it gets the maintenance it needs at a Napa Auto Care Center. Napa, get the good stuff.
Every day, people save more and more money on Priceline. Save when you find your own hotel. Save even more when we find it for you. Save packaging your hotel with airfare, booking early, or even on last-minute deals. Priceline now has more ways to save on hotels than any leading travel site. Priceline, more ways to save.
The Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Dublin, Ireland, has revealed that more than 100 of its priests are suspected of sexually or otherwise physically abusing hundreds of children over six decades. Vicki Barker has the story from London.
In all, 102 of Ireland's priests are suspected of sexually or physically abusing at least 350 children since 1940. As in America, the Catholic Church in Ireland has been rocked by a series of abuse scandals in the past decade. But Ireland is a predominantly Catholic nation. The revelations have cut deep into the national psyche. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
A woman in Washington state is accusing a Catholic bishop, William Skillstad, of sexually abusing her back in the 1960s. He denies the charge and says he has kept his vow of celibacy. Skillstad is also the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
In the game of life, your credit score can make all the difference in the world.
The Smith family is going for a home loan. The referees are reviewing their credit score.
Wouldn't you like to know your credit score before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and get your credit score and credit report online for free.
Upon further review, the loan is approved.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
I love sledding, but I'm so cold.
Let's go to my house for Ovaltine Hot.
All right, Ovaltine Hot, come on.
The kids will be back soon. Let's make them rich chocolate Ovaltine Hot.
Great idea.
Dave's mom's making
creamy, chocolatey Ovaltine Hot.
Yeah.
Oh, Ovaltine's made with milk.
Yeah, so Ovaltine tastes creamy.
And it's full of vitamins and minerals. Swiss Miss and Nestle Hot Cocoa aren't.
Mom, we're here.
Who wants Ovaltine Hot?
Me.
Let's make more.
More Ovaltine, please.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. We're live on KRXA 540, serving Monterey, Carmel by the Sea, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Also on KGOE 1480, serving Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. We're live all the way to 6 o'clock. There's no script. We have a little bit of an outline of who's going to be on the show, but it's a freewheeling progressive talk program, and I'm glad you've joined us. If you want to pick up the phone and participate, I'll be even happier. We provide a couple of phone numbers for you on the Central Coast. Call us at 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-5792. If you're listening in Eureka or online at KRXA540.com, you can call me toll-free. That number is 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. I want to thank the members of the Carmel by the Sea Rotary Club who allowed me to speak at their luncheon today. Met a lot of interesting folks and maybe even some new listeners to our program. Hope you will join us and call in if you're a brand new listener. Former Congressman, former White House Chief of Staff, former head of the Office of Management and Budget, and a leading light on the Central Coast, Leon Panetta, will be joining us in just a few minutes for one segment, starting about 3:15. Coming up at 3:30, Adar Jamail, who is an Iraqi and a journalist, will join us on the program again today. He has two powerful pieces he's posted recently at truthout.org, one about the profitable war that Halliburton, as some people like to call her, Halliburton, is enjoying. And in turn, that is quite rewarding to the interests, the personal interests of Vice President Dick Cheney. Also, Adar Jamail wrote a recent piece about John Negroponte and the intelligence czar's assessment of the situation in Iraq. We'll be talking about both of those issues. Coming up next hour, State Senator Joe Dunn, a Democrat from Orange County, and I'll repeat that for those of you who think I'm on OxyContin. He's a Democrat from Orange County. He's been in the state Senate for 8 years now, and he is a candidate for state controller. He'll be with us from 4 to 4:30. Then we're going to talk about the ongoing situation in Iran and the big picture in the Middle East with a Baruch College professor of Middle East history. His name is Ervand Abrahamian or Abrahamian. We'll get pronouncing guidance from him when he joins us on the show. And at 5 o'clock today, our weekly visit with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Then room for lots of your calls in the free speech zone. Plenty to talk about today, and here's some Peter B. news and comment as we await our encounter with Leon Panetta just a few minutes away. Topic A today, I guess, on the West Coast is the explosive new book from Chronicle reporters about baseball star Barry Bonds of the Giants. And I will first offer this disclaimer, that the amount of brain space and interest that most people devote to sports, I reserve for politics. So I don't follow baseball real closely, and I am not a big fan nor a big enemy of Barry Bonds. But this morning I was listening to an allegedly progressive radio show out of San Francisco where they brought on a reporter from Sports Illustrated who didn't even write the book or the excerpt about Barry Bonds. And right away, Willie Brown, the former mayor of San Francisco, and Will Durst, a comedian whom I like but also a diehard Giants fan, used rove tactics on a reporter who, like I said, had no direct responsibility for the Bonds story. And instead of talking about the real issues that have been presented by this tell-all book, they attacked the book, they attacked the reporters for their motivation. And it was shameful. It really was. Because, like I say, I'm not an expert on all these issues, but I've followed the news reports. I believe that Barry Bonds did use performing-enhancing drugs. It's an open question exactly when he did and if in fact, it was a violation of the Major League Baseball rules at the time. But I don't think there's any general notion that the allegations are untrue. And he's been dodging it, stonewalling it, and in some cases lying about it for years. And so I don't have a soft spot for Barry Bonds on that issue. Other issues in the news. Lead editorial at the New York Times today about the detainees at Guantanamo Bay. And we're learning more about them because last Friday, the Bush administration was forced by a lawsuit from the Associated Press to release documents that include the names of the 760 men who have been there. There are about 490 in the current population. And they didn't make it easy for the reporters. They didn't publish a list. They just threw a bunch of documents at them that have the information in there. And so it slowed down the process of identifying some of the people. But it offers one case of mistaken identity. A man whose name is Abdur Saeed Rahman was mistaken for a Taliban official named Abdur Zahid Rahman, and Syed Rahman says that he's just a chicken farmer from Pakistan. And maybe that's not true, but he's been maintaining that for many years. Other detainees at Guantanamo are there because they were wearing a Casio watch. And the Casio watch has a compass on it that devout Muslims use to help them point to Mecca when they're praying. But it was determined that Osama had a Casio watch. And from there, they kind of concluded that anybody else who has one must be a member of Al-Qaeda. That's really scary. It is truly scary. Well, we're going to take a quick break and return with former Congressman Leon Panetta right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, you can join us at 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and through electronic filing get you that refund as soon as you need it in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax returns return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network.
Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. This is the show for you, Rock Rollin' Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you have found us on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Carmel Valley. And on
this Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you have found us on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Carmel Valley. And on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Joining me now is a man who served with distinction in Congress from the Central Coast. He rose to be chair of the Budget Committee in the House. Then he went on to be director of Bill Clinton's Office of Management and Budget, and then was promoted to White House Chief of Staff. Leon Panetta, it's Peter B. Collins. Great to talk with you again.
Nice to be with you, Peter.
It's been many years, but the last time we spoke, you were shuttling back and forth to Andrews Air Force Base, trying to impose some budget discipline on your colleagues in the House.
Boy, that's a long time ago.
Isn't it?
Producing a balanced budget, and what was at the turn of OMB, it was an honor to work on President Clinton's economic plan and also to ultimately achieve what we had targeted, which was to, in fact, reduce that deficit and balance the budget. So when I look back on my career, that is one of my prouder achievements.
Mm-hmm. And it must be extremely disconcerting. I don't know if words can really adequately address the sea change that has occurred under Republican control.
Well, it's been very frustrating and angering because, all of the work that was done, and it was done by Republicans and Democrats working together, particularly Republicans who were concerned about trying to reduce the deficit and trying to balance the budget. It was certainly a conservative principle that they thought was very important. All of that seems to have gone right out the window, and we're engaged now in literally mortgaging the country to the future. We've had in the last 4 years the highest deficits we've ever seen in this country. We've added close to $4 trillion to the national debt, and we're in a mode where we're simply borrowing and spending and passing the bill on to our children. I think we're going to pay a hell of a price for this in the future.
And I'm sure that you vividly remember Newt Gingrich's document, The Contract with America, that, of course, produced the change in the Congress in 1994. And I like to remind formerly fiscal conservative Republicans that they agreed to a plank in the contract which called not just for a balanced budget, but for a constitutional amendment to require a balanced budget every year, a concept that I don't embrace because I think that it is reasonable and occasionally wise to go into deficit spending. That said, the Republicans have a serious case of amnesia about what used to be a cornerstone of their appeal. They kind of traded tax cuts for fiscal conservatism. Would that be fair?
Well, I think that's right. I think what happened was that instead of continuing to focus on kind of these basic conservative principles that have always guided the Republican Party, and very frankly, I think have guided most people who recognize that you really do have to be responsible when it comes to fiscal issues, because just like in your family or in your business, if you borrow too much, if you fail to pay your bills, ultimately it's going to catch up with you. So I think there is a recognition that needed to be done, and I think that there was this reaction that because we had a surplus, because we had balanced the budget, that they could basically propose a large tax cut, and that it wouldn't harm the budget whatsoever. And the problem we've seen, and we saw it in the early 80s, is that ultimately when you do huge tax cuts and you don't pay for them, that the deficit begins to go right out of control. It happened in the early 80s. It's a lesson we should have paid attention to. And here, almost 20 years later, we repeated the same basic mistake, and we're continuing to repeat that mistake. The Republicans are talking about extending or making permanent the tax cuts that will add probably anywhere from $1.3 to $1.5 trillion to the deficit. And there is absolutely no discussion, no debate about how we pay for any of this. And I think, at a time when we're paying for the war in Iraq, we're paying for Katrina, we're paying for these tax cuts, I think the time has come to ask the American people, wait a minute, if we want these things, if we want to engage in these priorities, then all of us need to pay for it.
Leon Panetta with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, the flip side of that is that the Democrats have the opportunity to really brand themselves as the party of fiscal responsibility. Some people consider that almost funny, given the history and the repeated labeling from the Republicans that Democrats just wanted to tax and spend. Well, we're now in a borrow-and-spend mode where government has expanded faster in this Bush administration than Bill Clinton ever dreamed of, and certainly faster than it actually did in the 1990s, the rate of federal spending, the expansion of the Department of Homeland Security, et cetera. And, of course, we fund the war off the books, Enron style, so we don't even honestly calculate that in to the fiscal picture each year. But will the Democrats, in your opinion, be able to capitalize on this, particularly in this year's midterm elections?
Well, they certainly should. This is one of the issues. I mean, obviously, there's a number of issues that the Bush administration, I think, has failed in, that, there's some sense that that Washington seems to be falling apart, whether it's Iraq or whether it's kind of the arrogance and cronyism that's going on, or Katrina, or these deficits, or tremendous oil dependence and high gas prices, and now the Dubai port deal. All of these things are out there, and you would hope that the Democrats would be able not only to obviously raise their concerns about each of these areas, but I think more importantly, they have got to present a vision to this. Ultimately, Democrats have to say, what is it they will do on energy, on the budget, on health care, on education, and on foreign policy? Those are the areas, I think, they have got to say to the American people, this is what we stand for.
And from my perspective, we don't see enough unification of a Democratic message. I do understand that congressional elections are local and that the 94 Gingrich sweep was an anomaly. But a lot of Democrats hope that the corruption of the Bush administration, the mistakes on Katrina, Ports, Myers, you can go down the list, plus the
care system in which we have 46 million people on policy, those are the areas, I think, they have got to say to the American people, this is what we stand for.
And from my perspective, we don't see enough unification of a Democratic message. I do understand that congressional elections are local and that the 94 Gingrich sweep was an anomaly. But a lot of Democrats hope that the corruption of the Bush administration, the mistakes on Katrina, Ports, Myers, you can go down the list, plus the
care system in which we have 46 million people who are totally uninsured and have no insurance whatsoever in terms of health care, we're facing up to say to the American people, this is what we stand for.
And from my perspective, we don't see enough unification of a Democratic message. I do understand that congressional elections are local and that the 94 Gingrich sweep was an anomaly. But a lot of Democrats hope that the corruption of the Bush administration, the mistakes on Katrina, Ports, Myers, you can go down the list, plus the
care system in which we have 46 million people who are totally uninsured and have no insurance whatsoever in terms of health care, we're facing an education system that, frankly, is not competing in the global economy for.
And from my perspective, we don't see enough unification of a Democratic message. I do understand that congressional elections are local and that the 94 Gingrich sweep was an anomaly. But a lot of Democrats hope that the corruption of the Bush administration, the mistakes on Katrina, Ports, Myers, you can go down the list, plus the
care system in which we have 46 million people who are totally uninsured and have no insurance whatsoever in terms of health care. We're facing an education system that, frankly, is not competing in the global economy, and we're facing a situation in Iraq where literally, we're in the middle of what people have identified as a civil war,
mm-hmm.
With Americans getting killed every day. Surely, if Democrats are not able to say, this is what we can do better and come up with some new leadership and new ideas for the 21st century, they're going to fail to take advantage of this opportunity.
Let me put you on the spot and ask for an up or down vote. Will Democrats take back the House this November?
If the election were held tomorrow, I think they would. the politics will. The purpose of the Congress, I mean, our forefathers made very clear.
Advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. Calling an enchanting personalized home.
Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refuses to shine.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
People tell me there ain't no use in trying.
Feel like getting out of this place, huh?
Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty. And one thing I know is true. You'll be dead before your time is due. I know.
Joining me on the Peter B. Collins Show today is journalist Dar Jamail, and a powerful quote here from his latest piece about Halliburton in Iraq. The slogan there, do as little as possible for as much as you can for as long as you can. Dar Jamail, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Nice to talk with you again. And I want to point out that this piece was posted just today at truthout.org. And you also posted your website, too, right? darjamail.com?
That's correct.
Yes. And this piece is an interesting look at Halliburton. And many people know the basics of the story, that Dick Cheney was their CEO before he became vice president. In fact, it was Ann Armstrong who was on the board of Halliburton at the time they hired Cheney. She, of course, the slogan there, do as little as possible for as much as you can for as long as you can. Dar Jamail, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Nice to talk with you again. And I want to point out that this piece was posted just today at truthout.org. And you also posted your website, too, right? darjamail.com?
That's correct.
Yes. And this piece is an interesting look at Halliburton. And many people know the basics of the story, that Dick Cheney was their CEO before he became vice president. In fact, it was Ann Armstrong who was on the board of Halliburton at the time they hired Cheney. She, of course, hosted the ill-fated hunting trip south of Corpus Christi just a few weeks back. And so the ties between Cheney and Halliburton are pretty well known. His deferred compensation package is something that has concerned many of us because it does give him an incentive to keep Halliburton in the black. And it's important to note that when Dick Cheney left, the company was in pretty deep financial straits because of an acquisition that Cheney had overseen that brought them huge liabilities from asbestos claims. So with that as a backdrop, why don't you carry the story forward to where we are today and what kind of goodies
people even within KBR are slowly... The most conservative estimate, the value of Halliburton stock has increased 138%. Since March 03, and that is an extremely conservative estimate. So the bottom line is that the more Halliburton profits, the more money is funneling into Dick Cheney's account in these into these stock options. So,
and we do know from his financial disclosure forms that his annual payment from the deferred compensation account is just a little bit less than what he earns as vice president. It's about $180,000 a year.
That's right, which is also more than he was making even when he was CEO of Halliburton.
Really?
Right. So the bottom line is Dick Cheney has ongoing, very solid financial ties to Halliburton, despite his public denials of this, which he has denied it over and over again. But the reality is he's very much tied to that company.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dar, our listeners are quite familiar with PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, the whole theories that they put out there about building a new era of American dominance. But first, we need a new Pearl Harbor, was the line that became David Ray Griffin's book title. And tell us what the connections are between PNAC members and associates and the benefits to Halliburton.
Well, without a doubt, there are many members of PNAC who people like Dick Cheney himself, who have very strong financial ties to Halliburton and very vested interest in what happens on the ground in Iraq regarding the expansion of the military bases, the ongoing construction, and this sort of thing. So people like him, people like Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, all of these individuals who are signatures of the Project for the New American Century, and now look at their distinct positioning within the Bush administration. John Bolton now, the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., who is very busy saber-rattling towards the towards Iran with their so-called nuclear weapons program. And then we have Paul Wolfowitz, who was heavily one of the architects of the Iraq War, who is now in charge of the IMF, the World Bank, and then we have, of course, Dick Cheney and Richard Pearl with their ongoing financial vested interests on what happens in Iraq.
And also Zalmay Khalilzad, who is now the ambassador, the guy running our show in Iraq, he came out of PNAC and was pretty influential in the lobbying for the anti-Iraq legislation that passed the Congress in 1998.
Exactly, and now he is and has been for quite some time now the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, and it should also be noted that he has ties, both past and current ties, to Chevron.
Mm-hmm. So we have these no-bid contracts that were awarded to Halliburton, and of course the White House has gone to great lengths to tell us that Cheney has recused himself, but there were a couple of emails that popped up just in advance of the presidential election in 2004 that indicated the White House and the Office of the Vice President had more than a passing interest in the awarding of contracts in Iraq.
That's right. These emails actually from the Army, between the Army Corps of Engineers and Cheney, who are being very specific in a very accusatory emails, basically complaining about some fraud that was happening and the actual direct links between Halliburton and Cheney. And this was a large reason of why there was so much rampant fraud and overcharging and lying and deceit going on regarding anything with Halliburton contracts that were happening in Iraq. And Army was very upset about this, as has been the Pentagon with the ongoing overcharging, other things happening on the ground, like Halliburton was responsible for serving polluted water to troops, U.S. troops at a base in Ramadi. Many people got sick from that. So one ongoing debacle after another. It's almost every other week now. Even in the New York Times, we're seeing reports of rampant fraud and Halliburton being caught having to pay back $10 million here, $60 million there of U.S. taxpayer money back to the Army for defrauding them. But at the end of the day, as we talked about at the beginning, $60 million in penalty is not too much when they have $18 billion worth of contracts.
Yeah, you got a lot of room for the cost of doing business there, don't you?
Yes, exactly. There's certainly some room for error for them.
And in your piece that's posted at truthout.org today, you have bullet points that you call rogueries, and I like that word. I think that's a good way of explaining. One of the most recent is at the end of February, in between the distraction of the vice president's hunting trip and the distraction of the Dubai port story and the distraction of the new videotape pre-Katrina showing the president was warned about the problems with the levees, there was a front-page story in the New York Times that, in a remarkable development, almost phenomenal, that the Army auditors who said that Halliburton should repay about $250 million of potentially excessive charges, it was reduced to only $10 million, and nobody's really told us what the process was that resulted in this huge gift to Halliburton.
It is essentially obviously under pressure from the vice president. We have this sort of smoothing out going on. It's obviously more important for the Pentagon and Halliburton to have good relations, even at the expense of $250 million of U.S. taxpayer money. It's simply a crime ring that we're watching being carried out by the vice president and his cronies in Halliburton KBR, where really defrauding the military, taking U.S. taxpayer money that is supposedly going into national defense and the Pentagon and this sort of thing, and instead it's going into the pockets of the people in Halliburton and the people with financial ties to them, like Dick Cheney.
But, Dar, I'm a little confused, because America's leading crime family doesn't come back on TV until this Sunday night, The Sopranos.
Well, for those who don't have cable, they just have to pick up a newspaper and watch what their vice president is doing.
Dar, we're going to take a break and return and talk about your recent piece about John Negroponte and the situation in Iraq. Dar Jamail is our guest here on the program. If you have a question or comment, feel free to join us. Call us on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792 or toll free from Eureka or wherever you happen to be listening. The number is 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's Behind the Wheel, the consumer new car review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of a 2006 Nissan Titan 4x4 pickup truck. This is a beefy, deluxe pickup that claims the largest interior of any half-ton truck. Think of it as an SUV with a short bed for cargo. The Titan is powered by a muscular 5.6-liter fuel-injected V8 and has a 5-speed automatic with on-the-fly 4-wheel drive. We put the Titan to work with a load of firewood.
In law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common-sense approach
to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live on your radio on KRXA 540 Monterey area and on KGOE 1480 in the Eureka area as we continue our conversation with journalist Dar Jamail. And, Dar, I want to turn now to a piece that was posted last Friday at truthout.org. And you give us a real good snapshot of John Negroponte. And he, of course, back in the 80s, was linked to some of the atrocities in Central America. He was Reagan's ambassador to Honduras. And then they sent him to Iraq as the Uber ambassador following the quick exit of Paul Bremer as allegedly a viceroy there. And then they brought him back from Iraq to head the intelligence czar's office. And to date, I haven't seen a lot of action coming out of the new Negroponte post. Is he pretty busy, you know, like getting massages and having his nails done? That's kind of what I've heard about how he spends his days.
Well, he may do some of that, but I think really the most worrisome thing about Negroponte, and this was certainly the case of how he operated in Iraq, every once in a while he'll pop up at some sort of press conference or at a Senate hearing, but he does operate behind the scenes. He's very busy, as he was in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about what you describe in this piece as the Salvador option.
This is something that was described by Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld back in January 2005. Keep in mind that at that time, Negroponte was the U.S. ambassador in Iraq. He was in the Green Zone, and I was in Baghdad at that time. And what we were already seeing, even before this announcement of the possibility of this were found, they had all been hung. They were found dead in a minibus somewhere in Baghdad. This is a daily occurrence now in Baghdad, and this is a direct result of Negroponte's policy.
There was a mass kidnapping of 50 police or security force members, too.
It was. Ironically, it was an Iraqi so-called private security company who their office was stormed by a large contingent of Iraqis wearing, once again, the dreaded Ministry of Interior security uniforms, which now basically everyone in Iraq running around carrying out these atrocities is wearing either Ministry of Interior security uniforms or Iraqi police uniforms. They went in and they kidnapped 50 of these security officers, and now, of course, they're missing.
Crowd, who's responsible for what? It's a chaotic situation in Iraq. And so, for example, yesterday one of our conservative listeners called and flatly stated that Al-Qaeda is responsible for the bombing of the Golden Mosque, the Askariya Mosque, I think it's called, in Samarra a couple of weeks ago. And I challenged him. I said, wait a minute. No one has established that. And so it's a very murky situation where it's conceivable that U.S.-backed or even U.S.-based death...
In Basra, two British soldiers were, undercover soldiers, I should say, were being were in a gunfight with Iraqi security people there, and they were killed in their car and burnt to death. This is similar to an incident that happened there several months ago, where British undercover SAS officers were caught in a car full of explosives and remote detonation devices and accused by some of the leading Shia religious figures of trying to plant bombs to generate sectarian strife.
And coming back to this Salvador option, what would be the purported benefit to the U.S. occupation from the use of death squad tactics?
Well, the bottom line in Iraq is it's really difficult for the Bush administration to justify if there's peace. However, on the other hand, if there's massive sectarian violence and the threat of civil war, then as we see now, there was talk of a timetable for withdrawal being put out there. And now with all this violence that's followed the bombing of the Golden Dome, the Golden Mosque in Samarra, now all of a sudden, whoops, these discussions about withdrawing U.S. troops have to be put on the back burner once again. War is good for business. We're talking about more beefing up of the U.S. military bases there. There's a minimum of four permanent bases there, and the more violence there is and chaos, then the longer this occupation will continue.
Squads in Iraq, he replied, I would say yes, there are death squads, and my observations would confirm that at least at a certain point last year and in 2005, we saw numerous instances where the behavior of death squads was very similar, uncannily similar, to what we had observed in other countries, including El Salvador.
That's right. There you have it. And it's not just journalists, it's not just the Iraqi people, but it's people quite high up in the UN, like Pace himself, who are acutely aware of what's going on. It's impossible to not see this when you're in Baghdad, because you go around there now, and this was even starting to happen the last time I was there, which was about a year. There's checkpoints all over the capital city. The problem is you don't know exactly who is running all of these checkpoints. Just because there's someone wearing, as I mentioned earlier, wearing an Iraqi police uniform or an Iraqi soldier uniform, it certainly does not mean that they belong to either of those groups. They may well be simply a criminal gang or a member of one of these death squads, and that's why we have, on average, 30 Iraqis being kidnapped every single day and over 100 attacks per day on U.S. soldiers, and the situation is in complete meltdown mode.
Dar, any indication that any training has occurred for Iraqis of any type at...
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A Republican revolt in Congress.
Ignoring a presidential veto threat, House Republicans are leading the charge to stop the Dubai ports deal.
Three suspects arrested in the Alabama church fires.
Today, Alabama can rest a little easier.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's an election year break with President Bush.
On this vote, the ayes are 62, the noes are 2, the amendment is passed.
House Republicans refused to wait 45 days for a review of the deal that would allow an Arab company to operate major U.S. ports.
By a vote of 62-2, a House committee attached a measure to kill the port deal to a must-pass bill funding the war in Iraq. Republicans are feeling the political heat, and the amendment was...
Architect early, so your living space won't be to this or to that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation, what a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to Geico.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Federal investigators in Alabama say they've solved the rash of arson fires that damaged or destroyed 9 rural churches last month. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has details.
Prosecutors have filed federal arson and conspiracy charges against 3 college students, Matthew Cloyd, Russell DeBusk, and Benjamin Mosley, and they all remain behind bars. They've been charged with setting 1 fire to the Ashby Baptist Church in Bibb County, Alabama, which was completely leveled, but more charges are likely. One suspect is quoted in court papers as saying that this was a joke that got out of hand.
Reverend Jim Parker, pastor of the Ashby Church, says today's arrests are the answer to his congregation's prayers.
We've been concerned with, what they might do. You know, would they strike again? That sort of thing. So we're very, very relieved is the word.
William Skillstad, the Roman Catholic Bishop of Spokane and currently president of the U.S. Conference of Bishops, is facing a sexual abuse charge. A woman has filed a claim saying Skillstad molested her in the 1960s when she was a minor. The bishop issued this statement read by a spokesman.
I have kept the promise of celibacy that I made when I was ordained a deacon 47 years ago. I hope that the Spokane community will join me in praying for all those who have come forward to report sexual abuse. Please pray for me as well.
The authors of a new book on home run king Barry Bonds have sold at least 1 copy to baseball commissioner Bud Selig.
I will review all the material. It's relative in every way. Obviously, we've only seen parts of things.
Selig's withholding comment on the allegations that Bonds used performance-enhancing drugs heavily for years. That's President Bush wielding a hammer in Gulfport, Mississippi, one stop today on his latest post-Katrina tour. CBS News correspondent Mark Nola reports from New Orleans.
Making his 10th visit to the Gulf Coast since Katrina struck, President Bush came to trumpet the progress that's been made, though he was quick to admit.
Still a lot of work to be done, no question about it.
In the hard-hit lower 9th Ward, Mr. Bush saw block after block of abandoned homes and mountains of debris. And along the levees, he said the June 1st deadline would be met.
So as we go into the start of the hurricane season, the levees will be equal or better than what they were before Katrina.
But Mr. Bush also said Congress has to come up with billions more in funding for both the levees and the rebuilding of homes in Louisiana. Mark Noller, CBS News, New Orleans.
The president's back in Washington now. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball, and now XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every Major League Baseball team all season long, plus the World Baseball Classic. And XM has America's largest playlist, including commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. Follow your favorite team with XM. Listen large. Price after mail-in rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
Air cleaners are all the rage these days, and the one that works best is mine. Hi, I'm David Orrick. My hypoallergenic Orrick air cleaner traps 99.7% of harmful airborne particles from cigarette smoke to mold spores. Orrick air cleaners have electronic filters that never need replacement. They wash clean, saving hundreds of dollars a year. Try one free on me. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200.
If you heat your... Good afternoon and welcome to the second hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your humble host, Peter B., originating today from our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey, specifically Sand City, if you care. And we're live on KGOE 1480 in Eureka every day at this time. I'm glad you're listening. If you have a question or comment, join the conversation whenever the urge strikes you, and as long as the First Amendment is still in full effect. On the Central Coast, my number is a local call, 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call me toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. Later this hour, we'll get an update on the situation in Iran and some analysis from Baruch College professor Ervind Abrahamian, or Abrahamian. I'm going to get tips on him from him on how to pronounce his name. And also next hour, we get the raw story. Yes, Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative reporter who's been dogging the Abramoff story, she'll be joining us next hour for a weekly update. Right now, we're joined by State Senator Joe Dunn. He's a Democrat from Orange County. And I'm going to repeat that for those of you who think I'm a talk show host on OxyContin. He's a Democrat from Orange County. Hello, Joe Dunn.
Peter, it's great to be here. And yes, you are correct about that statement.
And your home base is in Orange County?
It is indeed, in the city of Santa Ana.
In Santa Ana. And you and Congresswoman Sanchez are really the exceptions. You've defied the Republican domination of voter registration to win office from deep in the heart of Orange County.
That is true. And in fact, a lot of folks not from Orange County don't realize that the particularly northern half of the county is changing. It's very urban, very diverse local contribution, and give that stockholder a right to ask for a reimbursement. Now, practically speaking, some of those reimbursements may be only pennies, so we do give the corporation the ability to aggregate those dollars and donate them to an established charity. But this gives the stockholders the right to exercise their own voice on whether a corporation ought to be playing in politics, in campaigns, just like union members currently have for labor unions.
And let me give you an example here and see if you could run it through the process. And I will use the kind of descriptions that politicians get to use on their financial disclosure forms. I own somewhere between $1,000 and $1 million of stock in Bristol-Myers Squibb. Bristol-Myers dumped $6 million into California politics in 2005 to promote a dummy ballot measure and ultimately try to defeat the consumer pharmaceutical ballot measure that was also on the ballot at the same time. So what would I get back from Bristol-Myers if I exercised this option and said, I didn't like what you did and I want you to reimburse me?
Let's assume you owned 1,000 shares of stock in Bristol-Myers. What you would then do is that 1,000 shares, and of course, Peter, I'll make up the numbers here. Let's say that's...
It's in the dumper. It's $23 right now, and it peaked at $75 a couple of years ago.
True, but let's assume your 1,000 shares represent 1% of all the stocks that are currently outstanding.
Okay.
You could then ask for our company to reimburse to you 1% of those political contributions that they, in fact, utilized in last election cycle. That creates a real problem for a corporation to go back into their bank accounts to find those dollars to give back to you in exercising your right to disagree with political contributions they made in a given fiscal year.
Okay. Well, I certainly support it. Where is it now? Is it in a committee?
It has just been introduced. It will be assigned to its first policy committee, likely to have its first hearing within the next few weeks.
Okay. We're talking with State Senator Joe Dunn here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk with him, he's with us till the bottom of the hour. 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. Now, I'm sharing all of my portfolio with you today. I'm also a disaffected Enron shareholder, and I'm wondering just how closely you're watching the proceedings in Houston.
I'm watching the proceedings very, very closely, Peter B., because, as you may be aware, I chaired the State Senate investigation into the electricity crisis. And that wasn't the usual politician dog and pony show type investigation. That was a 3-year investigation. We did 35 hearings. We issued hundreds of subpoenas. We took legislative depositions for the first time in U.S. history. We actually found contempt against Enron twice when they were still wearing the white hat of the business community, not the current black hat. And a lot of the evidence about the manipulation of the market in California actually came through our investigation and our service of the subpoenas. So as you see many of these criminal trials unfold, some of the evidence that is being used or referred to in those cases actually has come as a result of our investigation. So I'm watching them very, very closely. And as I like to kid folks, I'm disappointed that I did not get nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a documentary, since I actually was in the Enron movie that was up for an award this past Sunday.
Smartest guys in the room, the
name
of it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I saw you there. And when you look at this, this really was a massive fleecing of the ratepayers and taxpayers in California beyond anything that I can think of in history. Yesterday, we had Jason Leopold on the program. He covered the energy crisis for the Dow Jones Newswire. And we came up with a ballpark estimate that somewhere between $50 and $60 billion was sucked out of the California economy. And we got absolutely zilch for it.
It's absolutely absolutely true, Peter. And I agree with those numbers in your discussion with Jason, and I've had long discussions with him about it. And so I do agree with that price tag, if not higher, frankly, if you look at the ripple effects throughout the entire California economy. But let's get back to the main focus here. The fact of the matter is this massive ripoff of the state of California was created due to the push by particularly Enron, Ken Lay, and Jeff Skilling, but others were involved to deregulate our electricity not only at the federal level but at the state level. There's no fixing deregulation. The fact of the matter is the only way to prevent a new crisis from hitting California is to simply end this nonsense, this myth of deregulation of electricity, and find our way back to some sort of regulated market when it comes to the delivery of electricity in California.
We're talking with State Senator Joe Dunn. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk about the use of the National Guard to spy on protesters here in California, and we're also going to talk about the job of state controller and what Joe Dunn would do if he gets elected to that post. Your calls are welcome, so join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money in Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, then to 3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular
intersection block there. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Whatever hurts, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour.
Okay.
And Amy, I'm glad to hear from you. Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on KRXA 540. Got it, the Peter B. Collins Show, live in Monterey and Eureka. We're talking with State Senator Joe Dunn, Democrat from Orange County. He's termed out in the state Senate, and he wants to move up to the office of state controller. He's one of three Democrats on the ballot this June in the primary. And, Senator, what does the controller's office do? Oh, I have to turn you up.
It's the CFO of the state of California, really controls the expenditure of the hundreds of billions of dollars that comes out of the state budget every single year. There's many responsibilities associated with it, Peter. The focus that we're going to put on is on the audit power of the controller's office to begin to actually trace down the expenditure of our tax dollars, whether they go to agencies and departments or even go into the private sector, to make sure finally, despite all the promises of politicians, that in fact we know how those tax dollars are being used, and we can identify where they're being misdirected to places they shouldn't be.
Now, the incumbent is a candidate for governor, so Steve Wesley is vacating the post after one term. And let me toss you a bit of a political hot potato here. Mm-hmm. One of the cases that came up that deserved investigation, and in my view didn't get a full and thorough investigation, was the work of Kevin Shelley, the mm-hmm. Democrat who was our Secretary of State and who resigned rather than face a serious investigation that could have led to some indictments.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two key issues. One was that as a member of the state assembly, that he got an earmark, to use a federal term, he got some money set aside for a nonprofit in San Francisco that was going to build a Chinese community center. They never built the center, but they peeled off about one-fifth of the $500,000 that Shelley got for them, and that was miraculously laundered into his campaign for Secretary of State. So that was issue one. The second issue related to the Help America Vote Act, which dumped federal money into California, and it appeared that Shelley was using that to advance his own political career.
And I don't consider the issue a hot potato at all. Seriously, and frankly, Peter, the problem in politics is we're happy to investigate our enemies, but always want to protect our friends. And that is one of those examples where, no, there should have been a thorough investigation, because frankly, I don't care if somebody comes from the political left or political right. The cynicism towards politics is very high because, as I said, we'll go after our enemies and ignore what our friends do. And frankly, we ought to be even-handed about that to root out all corruption, because the system simply gets better when we do that.
Well, and I imagine that Kevin Shelley is on the beach in Hawaii.
They lost their lives in Iraq. Raging Grannies, an anti-war group that's been around for decades, and Code Pink. And unfortunately, the governor's office, the Schwarzenegger office, asked the National Guard, we found out through an email, to monitor that protest. And in fact, they did. And they don't like the word spying, but in fact, that's exactly what they did with respect to that event. Now, it wasn't a big event, no big deal, but as a result of that discovery that they did spy on that event, we opened up an investigation last summer into the activities of the California National Guard and discovered something horrifying. In fact, a year before that, they had set up what I call a spying unit. They call an information synchronization unit, in which we believe they were in the early stages of setting up a robust domestic spying unit here in California. But the story gets worse. As we began to get documents from the California National Guard, it seemed clear to us that at about the same time as the establishment of the California spying unit, there were 10 other states that set up a virtually identical unit with similar names, which led us to suspect last fall that perhaps this was orchestrated out of the Bush administration and the folks at the federal level. Well, at that time, nobody was aware of the NSA spying activities and the things that are now front page news almost every single day. And the conclusion that we have drawn here in California is, and I won't get into the technicalities here, but there is a federal law that prevents military personnel from engaging in domestic spying. It's called the Posse Comitatus Act
mm-hmm.
of 1878, over 100 years ago.
Well, a lot of people learned about that after New Orleans.
That is correct. And the only time it's really been used robustly is during the Vietnam War, when U.S. military personnel were engaged in active spying on anti-war protests, anti-war groups, leadership within the anti-war movement, and the Posse Comitatus Act came to apply in that situation. Well, we discovered that, in fact, there's a loophole to the federal Posse Comitatus Act, and that is National Guard units that are on state duty, that is not federally activated. So,
right.
So we send a guard unit to Iraq, you got to federally activate them and then send them to Iraq. Well, the guard units most of the time are on state active duty, not federal.
Sure.
The Federal Posse Comitatus Act does not apply to state active guard units. And I'm of the belief that the setup of the 10-plus units around the country was an effort by the federal government to set up spying buying units domestically that were outside of the parameters of the Federal Posse Comitatus Act. And to close that loophole, we introduced legislation last week to establish a state version of the Posse Comitatus Act. And, of course, now we've got the National Guard leadership folks in California claiming that the pillars of Western democracy are going to collapse, and we got folks from around the country that are aghast that we would propose this state measure to match the Federal Posse Comitatus Act.
Well, keep us posted on that. That is verging on insidious.
Yes, indeed it is. I wish I could use a more polite term, Peter, but your term applies perfectly, unfortunately, to the situation.
Senator, just about a minute remaining. The governor proposed this massive bond program, and everybody's in favor of improving our infrastructure in the state. The issues are how do we allocate the money and how do we pay for it? Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been very involved in the negotiations over this. He even went to the Arnold Classic weekend in Columbus after saying that he might not. So is he focused? Is he engaged? And will we have a package by Friday, the deadline?
We don't know whether we're going to have a package by Friday, the Friday's deadline. There are still discussions that are occurring every single minute. We are likely to be here through Friday, even though we usually leave Sacramento on Thursday. It's still too early to tell whether there's going to be an agreement that has been reached. Unfortunately, the governor himself, yes, I know publicly he's out there in support of the package, but he needs to have a more active involvement personally in these negotiations if, in fact, a deal is going to be struck. And even though we're only 48 hours from the deadline, it's still too early to determine whether we're going to have success in this measure.
Senator, let's talk again as we get closer to the primary, and best wishes to you in June.
Thank you very much, and it was great to be here.
State Senator Joe Dunn here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue in just a moment, and we're going to talk about Iran with Professor Ervand Abrahamian from Baruch College in New York City. That's ahead next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death. Whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call...
Do not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue It is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. And on this program, unlike other radio talk shows, we permit people who know a lot more than the host. And that's going to happen here next, as we're joined by Professor Ervand Abrahamian. He's a professor of Middle East history and Middle East and Iran expert at Baruch College at the City University of New York. He's the author of numerous books, most recently Inventing the Axis of Evil, The Truth About North Korea, Iran, and Syria. And he also has written a book called Iran Between Two Revolutions, Khomeinism, Essays on the Islamic Republic. And he is currently working on two books, one on the CIA coup in Iran, and he also has written a book called Iran Between Two Revolutions, Khomeinism, Essays on the Islamic Republic, and he is currently working on two books, one on the CIA coup in Iran and another called A History of Modern Iran for the Cambridge University Press. Professor, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And one of the reasons I enjoy doing this program is that I can invite people like you who know so much to help me understand more. And so feel free to correct me if I offer an incorrect statement or assumption. And there are no sacred cows here, at least of Cambridge University Press. Professor, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And one of the reasons I enjoy doing this program is that I can invite people like you who know so much to help me understand more. And so feel free to correct me if I offer an incorrect statement or assumption. And there are no sacred cows here, least of all me, on the program. I want to first ask you to describe your reaction to the deal that President Bush announced in India last week regarding a new path around the nuclear non-policy,
even though they say, well,
others in Tehran saying, I want a deal like India got.
And it's not only that, it's many people are going to go to China and Russia and say, well, the U.S. has done this, why can't you do it with us? And I wouldn't be surprised in a few years' time. China will...
...elections, and despite massive poverty, still produce generations of doctors and engineers. He goes on to say that Bush's deal with India is troubling for two reasons. First, it could only undermine the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Yes, I know, he says, the Bush team doesn't believe in treaty. Again, as this relates to Iran and North Korea, this is sending a very dangerous set of signals.
I would love to hear more from the Clinton administration people, because they were tempted by such an offer and they refused it because they knew the implications of it. That it's easy enough to become friendly to India. Strategically, it makes sense, but the consequences are disastrous. And one thing I can see happening is Musharraf's position in Pakistan is going to be very much weakened, because how is he going to appeal to his public when he's been pro-American, and then what the Americans have done is helped the enemy India against Pakistan. It'll be seen there as very much as a slap in the face of Pakistan. After all, Pakistan has done in the last few years in the so-called war against terrorism.
Well, and the timing of it, to come from a secret trip to Afghanistan, pop into India, make a deal favorable to them, then jump over to Pakistan, India's arch enemy and its likely nuclear opponent, if that ever came to pass. And here Bush, you know, like Santa Claus, says, India, you get this nice shiny gift, and Musharraf, here's a nice little lump of coal for you.
Yeah. The only way you can explain the Bush administration's behavior is that they, from the very beginning, they saw China as the looming threat. If you read their writings even before the 2000 election, they were building up China as the great sort of future Soviet Union that was going to be a threat to the United States, and that much of their strategy was based on that. Then September 11 sort of diverted them from that, but now they've gone back to the notion that they've got to plan the world as China as a major threat. And if you actually look at the build-up in China, the military is a pittance compared to the U.S. China is very much a Pacific and an Asian power. It's not a threat to the U.S. on a global level at all.
Mm-hmm. So it appears that the Bush administration does have a very sharp focus on Iran right now. And this is eerily reminiscent of the drive to launch the war in Iraq in 2002, early 2003, where the risk, the real threat, particularly the threat posed to the United States and its citizens, appears quite remote. I certainly have concerns about the intentions of Iran. But in terms of developing a nuclear weapon of any significance, even the hardest neocons say that it's at least 6 years, and the general perception is that it's closer to 10 years before they would be in any position to produce such a weapon. So why is it that we are so highly charging this issue, with Dick Cheney piling on again yesterday with his stern-faced Darth Vader voice just saying, you know, well, there will be serious repercussions?
It's hard to figure out the timing, because this has been an ongoing issue, and clearly the administration wants to bring it to a head in the United Nations now. I cannot fathom why at present, because it as you said, it's not an urgency. Although when they want to make it urgent, they speed up the timing. They say, well, the Iran is a few months away from it. Although the CIA and most, I think, nuclear specialists say it's 5 to 10 years. And installations Iran has is actually very small. It's really experimental. And I think the Iranians would be quite happy to, if they could have those and just carry it out as an experimental nuclear technology. That gives them the prestige that they can do nuclear technology, that they can use it also for scientific purposes. And they are willing to give assurances that they're not going to go further. But mm-hmm. The administration claims it's convinced that if Iran had the expertise, they would jump at the nuclear weapons right away. So,
Professor, we're going to take a quick break and put some money in the meter and be right back with you. And if people want to talk with you, we have lines open at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. We're talking with Professor Ervand Abrahamian. He's a professor of Middle East history and Middle East expert at Baruch College in New York City. Lines are open for you. Give us a call, and we'll talk here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez. and I'm Wren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues. Don't give up the
fight. There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
And you know, traffic matters, too. Let's check in with Amy Knight here on KRXA 540.
It sure does, and we have lots to talk about this afternoon. Still an accident clearing. Looks like it's just been cleared off the city street, southbound 1 before 41st Avenue, but traffic's still heavy on Highway 1 itself. There's the good news for you. It's been cleared off to surface streets. But in Morgan Hill, an overturned car, Railroad Avenue at Fisher Avenue, Highway Patrol on scene, and heavy traffic on Highway 17 northbound. It flows from Hamilton Avenue as you make your way into Los Gatos toward the Santa Cruz Mountains. Also in Morgan Hill, watch out for a large box in the left lane, northbound 101 after Dunn Avenue, and an accident, again, Railroad at Fisher, with an overturned car. This report brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. With your schedule, you rely on your car for a lot, so make sure it gets the maintenance it needs at the local Napa Auto Care Center. Napa, get the good stuff.
Got the Peter B. Collins Show in your ear, and I am delighted. You can call the program if you have a question or comment about the situation between the U.S. and Iran. Our expert is with us till the top of the hour. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free from anywhere within the sound of my voice at 1-888-579-2540. We continue our conversation with Professor Ervand Abrahamian, professor of Middle East history and Middle East and Iran expert at Baruch College in New York City. And his most recent book, notably, is called Inventing the Axis of Evil, The Truth About North Korea, Iran, and Syria. And the title of your book suggests something, Professor, that I have mentioned on a number of occasions, that it appears that the rhetoric preceded the policy on the so-called axis of evil. They coined a phrase, and then they said, geez, this tests really well. Maybe we ought to do something with it.
Yes, and I think that they didn't realize how potent it is, both potent in good and bad ways. That the reaction it had in Iran was, I think, very detrimental, because it convinced the Iranian leadership that U.S. was out to get them. And that very much undercut those people who wanted to negotiate and come to some sort of deal with the United States. And it quickly helped the more conservative right-wing elements. And the net result of that was the electoral victory of President Ahmadinejad. And the poor president before, who has been for years talking about olive branches to the United States, that was all sort of shattered with being denounced as part of the axis of evil.
Mm-hmm. And, Professor, if you would indulge me, could I make you Secretary of State for a couple of minutes here?
I'd have to replace someone.
You don't have to wear a skirt? All right. I'm just curious, because as I look at the policy, and just before the break, you and I seem to agree that it's puzzling the way the Bush administration is proceeding. And to do this deal with India, which appears to only benefit the makers of nuclear equipment like General Electric in terms of boosting exports over the next few years, we look at that with some puzzlement. We look at the overt moves by the administration, very publicly saying, oh, we need an extra $75 million to support democratic forces in Iran. Well, gosh, you know, we have a $38 billion covert budget at the CIA. Why would they ask for that in public when that appears to be much more of a covert operation or something that we would want to do on the down low, as we say in the hood? And then we have the pronouncement from Cheney yesterday, essentially upping the ante with threats against the government in Iran. And, of course, I'm always cognizant that they have a lot of influence over the people who supply a good portion of our oil here in the United States. So, with that said, how would you operate differently if you were Secretary of State?
Well, if the aim is to prevent Iran getting a nuclear weapon, then the obvious thing, and this is something that, you know, people have been saying in the State Department, that specialists in the Middle East, you need to negotiate with Iran. But to negotiate with Iran, you don't start off by saying, my intention is to destroy you, to kill you. And that's been the policy of this administration all the way along, is that we are out to get you. The term that was before used was regime change, that clerics can't be tolerated, that we're in the midst of a World War IV with Iran as our antagonist. And then in the midst of that, they're saying, well, we need to negotiate with them to persuade them not to develop a nuclear program. It just doesn't work. You don't sit down to negotiate with someone when you start off. We put a gun in the table and say, I'm going to shoot you at my first opportunity. Just the other side is obviously going not to the weaknesses you might have, that they can actually strike it back at you if you strike at them. So the whole relationship has got worse and worse because of the rhetoric from Washington that the need for regime change. And then this $75 million, it really, I don't think, will have much effect. But for people in Iran, this means, you know, United States is trying to do what they did in Iraq, trying to recruit Iranian
Republican elected officials. They could support cleaning up our electoral process and getting rid of risky electronic voting machines.
And giving money to Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of ways that Iran could return the provocation, wouldn't you say?
Yes. And it's not something actually nations do because it's against international law. To openly say you're going to overthrow some other government. In fact, the U.S. had signed an agreement known as the Algeria Agreement after the revolution, that the United States accepted the Iranian Revolution, the Islamic Republic. So it's actually this policy of the United States negates its own promises from the past.
Now, one of the issues that has surfaced is that Iran and other Arab nations have proposed a nuclear-free zone in the Middle East. And, of course, this causes problems for the U.S. and Israel because we don't openly acknowledge that Israel has nuclear weapons, but it's not a secret. And so I'm curious, from at least the Arab perspective, is this a sincere proposal, or is it simply a way to try to wedge Israel into either disclosing what it has or disarming?
I think, I mean, from the Arab countries like Egypt, they would, it is a sincere proposal, but they know Israel is not going to negotiate. So it doesn't, it's not a policy that goes anywhere. They would love to have Israel get rid of its program, but they also know that it's a no go with Israel on that.
So it's a very safe offer to make.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as you look at the picture, Professor, tell me what we've missed and what you think our listeners ought to know related to the situation in Iran and U.S. policy toward Iran.
Well, I think the danger here is I don't think people in Washington really that's in the blueprints, because they realize that military option is not really going to work. But what I think is the danger is a slide towards escalation. In that both sides are going to play chicken, see which one, who's going to blink first. And what Washington doesn't realize is in the Iranian decision makers, if they're given ultimatum.
Repairs and great service at a fair price. Then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. It's an election year issue that pits Republicans against the White House. A House committee has just voted to bar a Dubai company from controlling some U.S. ports. Republican Congresswoman Heather Wilson of New Mexico.
I can't support turning these ports over to this particular company. It is a company owned by a foreign government. This is not just a foreign-owned company. And I don't care if that foreign government is Canada. We need to think this through.
With more on the political battle, here's correspondent Bob Foss.
The driving force here is politics. This is an election year, and members of Congress are getting an earful from voters back home. While policymakers can argue about whether there is really any security risk in a Dubai port management company doing what British, Chinese, and other foreign companies already do at American ports, it isn't passing the smell test with voters. And Republicans are abandoning the president's side on this in droves.
The prosecution star witness in the Enron trial was grilled today by the defense, which is trying to convince the jury that Andrew Fastow is not to be trusted. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen on what's at stake here.
Fastow is at the heart of Enron's fraud. He was the hinge between the two defendants and the rest of the gang who carried it out. That's why he's so important to prosecutors, and it's why it's absolutely necessary for the defense to hammer away at his credibility, to try to convince jurors that he would say anything now because of the deal he cut with the government.
Fastow, Enron's former chief financial officer, has linked former executives Jeffrey Skilling and Kenneth Lay to massive fraud at the company. Three arrests have been made in a string of church fires across Alabama last month.
I think that today, Alabama and all of the faith-based community in this state can rest a little easier.
Governor Bob Riley, upon learning the attacks were not racially motivated, but apparently began as a joke by three college students. Reporter Donna Francavilla is in Birmingham.
All three of the young men are in a U.S. Marshal's lockup. They will remain in custody until the next hearing, which is at this point scheduled for Friday afternoon. At that point, they will have a detention hearing. And it will be determined whether bond will be set for their release.
No one was injured in the fires, but five churches were destroyed. Attorneys general in four states have completed an investigation into what's behind high natural gas prices, concluding it was price gouging. Bob Orr reports.
Skip Horvath, who heads the Gas Industry Trade Group, blamed skyrocketing prices in January on the double whammy of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, which disrupted gas supplies. While prices since have dropped some, the state's investigation says prices remain artificially high. Energy trading markets, the report says, are vulnerable to abuse and manipulation. They are less regulated than many other commodity markets. And there is no question, the report concludes, that traders bid up the cost of gas futures in the fall.
On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished up 25 points, and the Nasdaq Composite Index was off less than 1 point. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas at a major strip resort? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 877-33 go win. Oh, and there's a bonus. If you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
Government experts predict we'll be paying more for gasoline this summer, about $2.50 a gallon on average. New York's Attorney General Elliot Spitzer has filed a civil lawsuit against a chain of radio stations accusing Intercom Communications of accepting bribes in exchange for playing tunes.
I think it will explain to many people why they hear the same songs over and over and over again. It's not an artistic decision that has been made by the radio stations necessarily. In some cases, unfortunately, they've been paid to play those songs.
Spitzer says more radio companies may be involved. He accuses Intercom of even falsely promoting Records Up music charts, charges the company denies. Nominations for the Country Music Awards have been announced. Brad Paisley leading the list of nominees with six, including Male Vocalist of the Year and Song of the Year for Alcohol.
I got you in trouble in high school, but college now.
Winners will be announced May 23rd in Las Vegas at the 41st Annual Country Music Awards. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not "I'll just wait in the car." The greatest phrase is "No thanks, I'm just looking." I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Every week, we make a little time to visit with investigative reporter Larissa Alexandrovna. She writes for RawStory.com. She calls up those people and says, "Excuse me, mister, can you tell me anything about Jack Abramoff? Can you tell me anything about Michael Ledeen?"
"Excuse me, mister, do you have the time? Or are you so important that it's standing still?"
Thank you, Ben Harper, and welcome, Larissa Alexandrovna.
Thank you.
How are you
actually
doing?
Actually, on your point, pretty soon I'll have to find another job, because now we're going to be, journalists are going to be tried for espionage.
That's right. We've got to get these leaks under control, and it's obviously journalists' fault.
Right, and especially journalists on the intel beat, so there you go. I'm sort of going to be out of a job.
Yeah.
Or, you know, stand trial for espionage, right?
And where would you like to spend your exile, Larissa?
I'd say South France.
With baby
send
doc?
Send me over. I'll be more than happy to go. Really, not a problem.
You'll be there with baby doc and the whole gang.
Yeah, I think it's getting very scary, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, you have an update for us on Michael Ledeen. We talked about him last week, and your interview with this arch-conservative, one of the architects of the Bush foreign policy, PNAC, and peripherally involved, maybe deeper, with the Niger uranium story and passing along the information from Italian intelligence, in quotes. So tell us a little bit about what else you got in your interview with Michael Ledeen.
Well, this is the second part in a three-part series, and this week, I wanted to focus on some of the controversy surrounding him. You know, there are allegations that he was involved in what's called the strategy of tension in Italy, where false flag operations, that is, operations done by one group and planted to be another group, were done in Italy by Italian officials. Like, for example, there were bombings and all of that, and then they try to blame a group of citizens when, in fact, it was the government doing it. So there were allegations that he was involved in that. And there was a lodge involved with that, a Masonic lodge, believe it or not, called P2, or Propaganda Do. And I asked him if he had had any association with that or familiar with that at all. And basically he said no, he had no familiarity, which is interesting because he's actually named in the indictment of those very government officials as an intriguer, as someone who was providing some sort of training. When I asked him about the training that he was supposedly, he had worked for Italian intelligence as well. I asked him, you know, what is it that you did for them? And he said, oh, no big deal. I was just trying to train them on how to communicate with friendly countries. Now, mind you, at the time, he was supposedly a reporter for the New Republic. And he's somehow training Italian intelligence people on how to communicate with friendly countries. The reality is he was in some way involved in the trials of the various P2 people. And then the other thing we talked about in this interview is Iran-Contra. And what I found fascinating is that he doesn't believe any crime was committed. He believes it was an outrage that Caspar Weinberger was indicted. And
Caspar Weinberger is about the only American who agrees with him on that.
Absolutely. And
which part of it does he think was legit? The October surprise, where prior to taking office, prior to even being elected, Reagan and Casey and Bush Sr. Made deals with the Iranians at secret meetings, some in Paris, and that produced the split-screen inauguration special, where as Reagan took the oath of office, we saw the plane load of hostages taking off from Tehran. Or is it the neat idea, as Oliver North referred to it when he was testifying on Capitol Hill, of gouging the Iranians for military spare parts that they needed and then diverting those profits to the Contras against the expressed prohibition of the Congress?
Well, I'll tell you what he said. I asked him about the Contras specifically, and he said, and I asked what happened to all the money, because the Contras never had any money. And mind you, the things that were going on in Italy were also related to the Contras. So I asked him about the money. He said, I don't know. I only dealt with the Iran half of the equation. I had no contact with the Contra side. This is interesting. This is where he goes on to chastise me for suggesting that, you know, people were engaged in criminal activity. But if you'll permit me, I think you should be more careful about accusing people of criminal activity. No one was ever indicted for violating the Boland Amendment. So your rage at the pardons is misplaced in that case. The indictment of Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger was an outrage, okay? And I'm not going to read the whole thing. And then I went on to say, with all due respect, Special Prosecutor Lawrence Welsh indicated that former President Bush was the subject of his investigation and that he believed there were to be a conspiracy at the highest levels of government to obstruct justice in order to protect Bush and former President Reagan.
Right.
I also went on to say that the reason nobody was indicted for violating the Boland Amendment was because there wasn't, or rather convicted, because there was no trial. They were pardoned before there was a trial.
That's right. Walsh was still conducting the investigation when Bush issued the pardons late in his presidency.
Right. So I go on to say, justice to be vindicated for those you say are innocent, and justice for the public who suspect them to be guilty, in reference to the, you know, he believes that, literally, he really does believe that nothing wrong was done, that they were acting as they should have, and regardless of how I phrased it, whether I asked him, okay, but people were pardoned, so you can't argue that nobody was convicted of a crime if there was no trial. It somehow didn't register with him.
And Larissa, what I think you're illustrating for us here is the mindset of the neocons in the White House and elsewhere who support the Bush administration, and they are so self-righteous and so convinced, like evangelical extremists, that what they are doing is right. Uh-huh. And they really cannot even contemplate the kind of questions or challenges that you're posing because they feel so justified in what they've embarked on and what they're doing.
Well, sure. I mean, and the thing is, what I find really astonishing is you have the same group of people who were involved in, as you say, the October surprise, the false flag bombings in Italy during the Reagan era, the Iran-Contra scandal, and these are the same people who are now meeting with their former colleagues from abroad. For example, Ladin met with officials from CISMI, Italian intelligence, right before the Niger rumor that Iraq was trying to purchase uranium from Niger started to circulate. So you have this meeting, and then all of a sudden this happens, and Ladin is meeting with them along with his former Iran-Contra friend, an Iran arms dealer named Gurbanifer.
Yeah.
And you have to say, well, wait a minute. And I asked him in the interview, I said, you know, let's say nothing illegal happened at these meetings. These meetings were all kosher. Everything was authorized. Doesn't it just look bad? Do you see why people are reacting the way they are? Because it simply just looks bad. And he said, no, I don't think it looks bad.
And did he ever put you on hold and say, I've got to take a call from Dubai?
Actually, he's against the Dubai deal.
He is?
Yeah.
Well, that's news. Let's pick up there as we continue with Larissa Alexandrovna from rawstory.com. If you have a question or comment, you can get on the line right now, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
President of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show, About College Funding, this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 518 now, and here's Metro Traffic's Amy Knight.
Very busy in Santa Clara County, westbound 152 after Feifel Road. This is in the Gilroy area. A pickup truck with a trailer struck the center divide and is blocking the roadway there, so drive with caution as you travel through Gilroy. Also in Prunedale, Highway 156 at Vieira Canyon Road, a two-car collision with the Sheriff's Department on scene. And a new problem in the Sand City Seaside area, southbound 1 before Fremont Boulevard, two pickup trucks involved in an accident, reportedly blocking lanes there. Still in Morgan Hill, an injury accident involving an overturned car, Railroad Avenue at Fisher Avenue, and looks like tow trucks on the way to clear that accident. But again, Highway 1 southbound near Fremont, two trucks involved in a crash, blocking lanes. Fly round trip to New Zealand for $798 and get a free flight to Australia. Tax fees and restrictions for $123 may apply.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA Monterey, KGOE Eureka.
Flew in from Miami Beach, BOAC. Didn't get to bed last night. On the way to paperback was on my knee. Man, I had a dreadful flight. I'm back in the USSR. You don't know how lucky you are, boys. Back in the USSR.
We're continuing now with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Do you like that song, Larissa?
Yeah, I guess you're playing it in my honor, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you. I think we are all now back in the USSR. So,
in too many ways.
It
certainly feels like a police state in a lot of ways. The Patriot Act was rubber-stamped through the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Only two votes were needed to stop it in the House yesterday, but the Democrats could not find them. And built into this extension of the Patriot Act, one of the things that I've read about that concerns me the most is this uniformed National Security Patrol. It seems to be the Secret Service on steroids, and it essentially reads...
More than on steroids, it's the Secret Service with FEMA powers.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it really seems like a national police force that reports only to the executive branch.
Right. I mean, one could easily say that this is reminiscent of history not too long ago. I would say Germany 1930s, maybe 1936 or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have essentially bodyguards for elected officials for one branch of government acting as police powers and can suspend. Although at this point, one has to wonder how a credible threat is defined by this administration, because journalists seem to be a credible threat. It's really, I'm not sure where we're going at this point, and
yeah.
I'm not sure how it's going to be stopped.
Anything else you wanted to add about your Michael Ledeen interview part two before I move on to another subject?
I just think it should be read as a whole. There's some interesting exchanges between us. And I think it's important to read it through and then look, you know, do your own research. I'm finding its way down.
Okay. Well,
get to it while you can.
Well, and there's so much news breaking that it is difficult sometimes that important stories do get kind of pushed down, both in, you know, website running order and just in the minds of the public.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the breaking news today related to Jack Abramoff. I have a copy but haven't had a chance to read it yet. The Vanity Fair story that includes a number of photographs from the Abramoff scrapbook.
Mm-hmm.
And this appears to be calculated to embarrass a number of the people who were in those photographs with Jack.
Well, they're sort of letting him be the scapegoat for really a mechanism that they were very much involved in and was very much set up by certain high-level officials on the right by which money would be laundered for campaigns. And so, you know, I think they... maybe they thought he'd be silent. I don't know, but they let him sort of hang out there on his own, and I think this is payback time.
Yeah, Interesting. I often pay attention to the full-page agitprop ads in the New York Times. And today I was pleased to see this one. The headline, maybe in 36-point, reads, "These religious leaders have a serious gambling problem." And then it shows renderings of Ralph Reed, Reverend Lou Sheldon of the so-called Traditional Values Coalition,
right,
and James Dobson from Focus on the Family. And then a little lower, we have the Fedora perp walk shot of Jack Abramoff. And it's fascinating. This came out of DEF CON, the Campaign to Defend the Constitution, an
right,
online grassroots movement to combat the threat posed by the religious right to American democracy.
Right.
And you can find them on the web, defconamerica.org. I think this is a great ad. And it also links indirectly, or at least segues, into this unusual item that is mentioned on the homepage at rawstory.com today. And it's an executive order that was issued yesterday by the White House,
mm-hmm,
just in advance of Bush's latest photo op trip to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an executive order which establishes a center for faith-based and community initiatives at the Department of Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the heck do you think this is about, Larissa?
I think this is the preparation for the, in my opinion, how they're going to funnel money to the religious right for the 2006 elections. That's what I think.
Coming through DHS, this is an interesting end run because, of course, they did establish the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives at the White House.
Right, and what did they do with that money?
Well, they passed it out to religious groups, and a lot of it went to black churches who seemed to dovetail with the anti-homosexual agenda that was used, the anti-gay marriage work,
mm-hmm,
in the 2004 cycle.
Right, and I suspect this is what this is. I can't think of any other reason for this. And I think it's not going to be the homosexual agenda. I think it's going to be abortion. I don't think they mean to do away with abortion, but they're certainly setting the stage for using it as a wedge tool.
So I know we can only speculate at this point because...
And that's really, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm
speculating. We can read the executive order and try to imagine what they have in mind, how they're going to try to use this.
Mm-hmm.
It says that this center shall begin operations no later than 45 days from the date of this order yesterday. So they're putting it on a fast track.
Right, there's, because it's urgent, you see, as opposed to, let's say, other urgent things going on in the country.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean... Again, it's suspect. I find it incredibly well-timed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you really look at it as a whole, there's no other explanation. I mean, I'm speculating, but I really see that that's probably what's going on here.
And I also think that it would behoove us to now go back to the budget proposal and see if there was an increase in any line items at DHS that
mm-hmm.
would provide the pot of money that
mm-hmm.
this executive order suggests already exists. Because if they're going to throw open the doors in 45 days, they're already funded.
Right, but you know what? Homeland Security was given an they were giving an astronomical amount of money that nobody knows to this date where this money has gone, to what, I mean, we know that Homeland Security declared a war on pornography.
Right.
But, I don't believe that that's their job. At least I don't remember that them being created for that reason. And I don't think the billions and, you know, the hundreds of billions they were given to secure the homeland had anything to do with pornography. So I do believe they have a nice nest egg over there. And since nobody seems to have requested to see the books in terms of how this money's been spent, even after Katrina,
mm-hmm.
there's no looking over, let's see how Homeland Security has spent money on FEMA, on other security-related issues with regard to the country and borders, for example. Nobody's asked for that.
All right. Larissa, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again next week.
Uh-huh.
Larissa Alexandrovna, rawstory.com. We're into the free speech zone next. Call me any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-579-2540, toll free.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley has another exciting show this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. Her provoking theme for the day is, can you choose a better life? You'll enjoy the questions, the challenges, and surprises. Hear how the author of Authentic Happiness had his whole life turned around at 50 by what his 5-year-old daughter said to him. You'll want to hear what's actually documented about what makes a happy life. Joan's guests are Harvey Kaplan, M.D., who has a successful psychotherapeutic practice in San Francisco, and Deborah Jenkins, who's a personal coach and author of Massive Abundance. You'll hear about what breaks your heart, what mends it, where does fear come from, how do we handle it, why are so many adults getting diagnosed ADD and ADHD? Keep listening, and Joan will keep talking about things that matter. All her shows are archived at joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley, Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
The answer to the question is, I'm Peter B. Collins. The question is, who are you? It's those geezers, the rock band called The Who. I am your humble host, and we've just thrown open the doors to the free speed zone. No more guests on the program today. It's wide open for your phone calls on any subject that we've discussed or one that you want to bring up of your own. You can call me right now. on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-KRXA. Or you can call me from Eureka, toll-free. That's 888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. And all our lines are open right now, so there's room for you to call, get in and get out quickly, and I would appreciate hearing from you today. We talked with Leon Panetta to kick off the show earlier. He, of course, the distinguished former congressman from here on the Central Coast, and a man who helped balance the budget before Bill Clinton took office, and then ran the Office of Management and Budget afterward. And he had some interesting comments to make. We also talked to Dar Jamail, the journalist who was born in Iraq and offered some scathing insights into Halliburton's sweetheart deals with the Dick Cheney administration. We also talked a little bit about John Negroponte and his attitudes toward the occupation of Iraq. And State Senator Joe Dunn was on the program with us. Interesting item that he brought forward that we were tipped off to by Tom Seaborn at KGOE in Eureka, that following the minor demonstration last Mother's Day at the state capitol, it was discovered that National Guard units around the country have been recruited to do some special monitoring of peaceniks and others who, I guess, present some sort of real or imagined threat to the status quo and the ruling class. And what Joe Dunn pointed out is that his research indicates that efforts to wiggle through a loophole in the law called posse comitatus, which prevents the military from operating or having jurisdiction inside our own borders, that there is an effort to do an end run, or at least go through a gray zone there, to permit National Guard units that haven't been activated nationally, so they're still reporting to their state government, those units can be used for this kind of spying on average citizens. So I appreciate the senator bringing that to our attention, and he's fighting to expose that, and at least in California, to put a stop to it. We also had an interesting chat with Larissa Alexandrovna, and I'll talk a little bit more about this executive order, which is establishing in the Department of Homeland Security a new center for faith-based and community initiatives. And this does, on the face of it, appear to be another attempt to stop the separation of church and state that has been so important in our country for so long. And if you listen to KRXA every evening just after my show, the Reverend Barry Lynn, who is the executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, has a radio show called Culture Shocks. And if not today, I'm sure very soon he'll be discussing this very issue. But it is a kind of creeping religiosity, and as they start to try to divert taxpayer dollars into religious organizations, we should all be concerned, in particular religious organizations. Because if you start accepting federal funds, well, you could sell your soul. And just look at the unanimous decision of the Supreme Court on Monday, denying the claims of law schools that they didn't want military recruiters to come in because the military discriminates against gays and lesbians, which is a known fact. And the Supreme Court said that's not very important. What's important is that we want recruiters to be able to come on campus. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. In today's New York Times, on the op-ed page, Maureen Dowd has another gem of a column, and she couldn't help but share with us that she was there at the Oscars the other night and got invited to the Vanity Fair post-party. But as I looked around Vanity Fair's slinky Oscar party on Sunday night, it struck me that the bellicose Bushies do share a presentation aesthetic with Tinseltown's phony beauties. You see no furrowed brows, no regretful winces, no unflattering wrinkles, no admissions of imperfection, no qualms about puffing up what you really have, no visible signs of hard lessons learned, and no desire to confront reality in the mirror. It's a very interesting parallel. The White House is constantly trying to do laser resurfacing on its Iraq policy to sandblast away the damage from its own mistakes, but its veneer may be beyond repair. In Hollywood terms, we've reached an Indiana Jones crisis moment in our parlous protectorate. The cave is collapsing. The snakes are encroaching. The vehicles are exploding. The crushing ball is rolling down on us. The public has stopped buying the administration's sugary spin. The Washington Post reported yesterday that 80% of Americans cutting across party lines say sectarian violence makes civil war in Iraq likely. Half also think the U.S. should begin withdrawing troops from Iraq, the poll found, and two-thirds say the president has no clear plan for Iraq. The widespread resistance to the Dubai ports deal, even among newly fractious Republicans, indicates that Americans have lost faith in the president's competence, a faith shredded by the White House's obtuseness and lies on Katrina. There's more to the article. You could read it online, or if you have access to a paper edition of the New York Times. There's also the op-ed piece that we referred to earlier by Thomas Friedman that I think is worth reading today. Jay's on the line from Monterey. Good afternoon, Jay. You're live and first on the Peter B. Collins Show here in the Free Speech Zone.
Hi, Peter. Thank you. You know, you've talked a lot about national issues, but we have a very important local issue happening. The Pebble Beach Company wants to cut down 17,000 acres of Monterey pines, and which they promised they wouldn't do. There was an agreement made in, I guess, 1983, and I guess words don't hold anymore. And so there's a meeting of the coastal commissioners tomorrow at the Hyatt Regency, I believe, at 9 o'clock. And this is a pretty big local issue. And, you know, I used to live up there and walked around there a lot, walked with my friend's dog. And I actually have some photos from there, and it was a big surprise to me. There's already been some building happening, not directly related to this particular bunch. But the photos, my friend who took them said, by the way, you know that's gone. And I said, what? So I made it a point to walk by there, and there were, you know, three big mansion-style houses. So they want to build another golf course, just what we need here. As far as I understand, this is the largest remaining stand of Monterey Pines. And in the larger context, the issue of the privatization of the commons.
Yeah.
And I mean, right now, they own the land, but there was an agreement made that they wouldn't do this. So I want to step past that.
Well, let me just ask you a couple of questions, because I'm new to this issue, Jay, and I'm happy you brought
it
up.
And I'm not the best informed person on this either, I have to say. Because
all right, well, do your best. The authority of the Coastal Commission, in this case, because is this property that's adjacent to the existing, like Spanish Bay or Pebble Beach golf courses?
Absolutely. As far as I understand it, yes.
So they have jurisdiction. What about the County Board of Supervisors? Have they already approved this?
I don't know if it's come before the supervisors yet. I think the Coastal Commission. This is kind of a newer issue around here. It's just come up a little while ago. And so, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a really big deal. I mean, the Sierra Club has raised this as a major issue, and I know there was a meeting about a week ago down here a couple blocks from the aquarium, and there were a lot of people at this meeting and friends from the Sea Otter and Sierra Club. A lot of people were there, and everybody's pretty upset because, you know, we take our nature pretty seriously. I mean, the truth is big companies, given the choice, would take every bit of land there is and develop it into something or other so they can make money off it. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Yeah. Well, Jay, let me, first of all, thanks for bringing this up.
Sure.
Secondly, can I suggest you give our news anchor, Casey Lynch, a call tomorrow morning and tip him off to make sure he's aware of the meeting tomorrow and he can mention it on the air. And then tell him more about it, because he's actually going to be launching a new local program on KRXA maybe as soon as next week, and that could be an issue that could be covered there.
It's a perfect topic.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
And that leaves a line open for you. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast, toll-free, 888-579-2540. There's room for your call in the Free Speech Zone, so get on the line and we'll talk with you next. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, the sun is shining, looking like another wonderful day.
I'm Scott.
Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
Tom Hartman.
The damage that this administration has done in just 5 years is mind-boggling.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
As a bit of a student of history, I don't think that we have ever had an administration that has done so much harm to the United States of America as this administration, as the Bush administration, to our reputation abroad, to our body politic at home. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540, the new Radio Free America.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
KRXA 540 with an update on your traffic ride home. It's 545, and here's Amy Knight.
Well, much better news, Peter, for southbound Highway 1 just south of Del Monte in Monterey. A two-truck accident has been completely cleared off the highway, but traffic may still be a little sluggish coming out of Seaside into Monterey. Highway 156 at Vieira Canyon Road, still two vehicles involved in an accident there in Prunedale. Sheriff's Department on scene, and they cleared a crash quickly westbound 152 after Fifel Road. Also, we're still waiting for tow trucks railroad at Fisher and Morgan Hill to clear an overturned vehicle. No new problems to report on 156 in the Castroville area. 68 also checks in clear in Monterey. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you heard, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks a lot, Amy. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. I'm at KRXA in Monterey today. And we had a few glitches with the hard drive where we store my little music beds. And we got the Rolling Stones' greatest hits here. And indulge me. This is one of my favorite Stones songs. Yeah, I was driving through Bakersfield.
Gospel music on the public radio station. And the preacher said, you know, you always have the Lord by your side.
Oh, that's right.
And I was so pleased to be informed of this that I ran 20 red lights in his honor. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I had an arrangement meet a girl, and I was kind of late, and I thought by the time I got there, she'd be off with the nearest truck driver she could find. Much to my surprise, there she was, sitting in the corner, a little bleary, worse than wear and tear, with the girl.
What were her eyes like?
Far away eyes.
All right, thank you, Mick. And thank you, Jesus. The girl with far away eyes. 548 now, the Peter B. Collins Show. Open lines at 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. Toll free. We call it the Free Speed Zone, and Jake's taking us up on it. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Peter. How's it going today?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I'm just calling in to respond to that political challenge I received yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Ed was concerned that you might be just mouthing off without actually taking any action.
Well, for Ed and for those who may have missed the end of the show yesterday, my name is Jake Pickering, and I have begun the process of becoming a candidate in the June election for the Democratic Party Central Committee from Humboldt County's 3rd District. That would include cities like Arcata, Bayside, Sunny Bray, Manila, Freshwater, Neyland.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, my running mate is a life mate, Shannon Gillespie. She's also a candidate for
uh-huh.
the Central Committee.
All right.
I just want to let people know that you should get involved. I agree with Ed. Everybody should try to get involved with the Democratic Party and make this a better party for our country. Because, unfortunately, you look at the people like Joe Lieberman or our Congressman Mike Thompson. These are conservative blue dog Democrats who might as well just be pro-choice Republicans. And we need to get in there and push forward what the American people need. And what we think the American people need, myself and Shannon Gillespie, is we need to impeach Bush and Cheney. I mean, if we're going to save our Democratic Republic, if we're going to save this great American experiment in democracy, then Bush and Cheney simply have to be impeached and tried for their crimes against the Republic.
You'll get no argument from me on that. I just have one minor quibble with what you just said, and that is the Alito confirmation established that there is no longer such a thing as a pro-choice Republican.
Yeah, good point. I'm sorry. Yeah, I should have remembered that little escapade. And that was, not exactly the Democratic Party's shiny moment. So I'm going to help the Democratic Party because clearly it needs a lot of help.
Now, Jake, you've got a consultant, a pollster, a fundraiser, a webmaster, somebody to do the grassroots door-to-door?
I've got no money, no pollsters, no spin doctors. I'm going to be doing this, as grassroots as it gets. Basically.
Well, then I'm sorry. Using the Paul Hackett rule, we must ask you to step aside for a well-funded corporate candidate who can go the distance and carry the load.
This is the whole point. This is what's wrong, unfortunately, with today's Democratic Party. We have people up at the top making the decisions about who our candidates are going to be, and frankly, these people at the top of our party do not represent most of us. We wanted Paul Hackett. Paul Hackett would have been a brilliant candidate. He would have won in a landslide. You know, I'm not saying Sherrod Brown's a bad candidate. He's all right. He's fine, but Paul Hackett was better.
Jake, I will again quibble with you just a little bit. I fully supported Paul Hackett's right to run, and I find it objectionable that the party leaders squeezed him out. And it's clear that one of the levers they used was to prevent regular Democrats from donating to Hackett's campaign. But just to be fair, one of the reasons Hackett pulled out was that a poll conducted just a week before he made his decision showed that he was not trending very well statewide, that his base in southern Ohio, in my former hometown, Cincinnati, was pretty strong. The problem there is that Cincinnati's a huge Republican machine town. And so even to do well among the Democrats there doesn't give him the numbers he needed to try to build momentum statewide. I'm not apologizing for anybody. I'm just saying that I'm not sure he would have won in a landslide. What I would have preferred is that the Democratic process choose the Democratic candidate to oppose Mike DeWine, not the party leaders in a formerly smoke-filled back room.
Absolutely. Democratic voters should have a choice. And you're right. Unfortunately, in Ohio, with the Republican machinery, I mean, like we saw in the 2004 election, Kerry won, but Bush got the electoral votes anyway.
Yeah. Well, and it does appear that Tom DeLay won his primary largely because there were three opponents who split the vote. But we're still a little suspicious just about what kind of voting machines they used and, if Diebold helped him out.
Oh, they did.
Well, it doesn't look like Diebold machines were used in the Sugar Land District.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, they got some other ones. There's a few Republican companies actually providing these voting machines. But I would just like to, point out to Ed that I appreciate his challenge. I'm taking him up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed is the guy who was supposed to watch stuff 9/11 in plain sight, wasn't he?
Yeah, I sent it to him. He has viewed it, but I haven't found a time to get him on the show to talk about it.
Oh, okay. So, hey, Ed, call in. Let's hear what you think about that movie.
Okay. Ed, the gauntlet is down. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
See you later. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. Well, Ed already knows that number. Or 888-579-2540. Next, it's Bill. Hello, Bill. You're on the air.
Go, Jake, go.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, it's Billy.
Who?
Well, the sign on the window, we're having some computer shutdowns today, says Bill. And so I didn't know it was Billy.
Oh, silly.
Yeah.
Billy.
Billy, what's up?
Silly Billy says, well, you know, what's up. I heard the most amazing thing, that if the girl is a virgin and a Christian, then she can get an abortion in South Dakota.
Yeah, this is tortuous. That is a comment that was made by a Republican member of the state legislature in South Dakota, and he was being challenged because this draconian law that was signed 2 days ago by the governor has no exclusion for rape. And it does have one exclusion, which is for, you know, anything that would that an abortion would be permitted if the life of the woman is threatened if she goes forward to term. So this guy, apparently thinking about a specific case, but he didn't identify that, used the language that you described. And it's grueling and kind of grisly to listen to it, because it comes from this Christian fundamentalist point of view. And he basically says, well, you got a 14-year-old girl who's a Christian, who is saving herself, she's a virgin, saving herself for marriage. And then he goes into these grisly details that she's raped and sodomized and left to die or something like that. I mean, it's really extreme and melodramatic in the way he is describing it. And again, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt by suggesting that he's referring to a specific case that we don't know the details of. I hope that's it, because if he just made that up as a hypothetical case, it's bizarre.
But actually, if he made it up as a hypothetical case, it proves how much he misses the point. Because whatever reason some woman chooses to get an abortion, that's her version of that story.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's the thing he thinks is the one exception. Well, I got mine, you got yours, and again, it's amazing that the people who are in the legislatures are the people who least understand democratic principles.
Well, and Billy, I'll take it a step further, that the arrogance and the self-righteousness of this unnamed legislator's position is that he can make the determination for this hypothetical woman.
Yeah, exactly. And the whole thing, it's, to me, you know, it's like we're in bizarro world. The fact that at any time the legal system got involved with the concept of abortion is what, to me, is just bizarre in the extreme. When did it become the lowest form of life, you know, the one person you never can trust to be honest, a politician, to actually vote conscious? That's not, you know, it has to do with a woman and her doctor, not the sleaziest man we know.
Well, and the people in South Dakota, and I am sorry to add that the bill that ultimately was signed by the governor, that is so draconian and retrograde, was introduced by a female Democrat. And it is entirely a trumped-up situation that they are hoping will play out at the Supreme Court in the near future. And Pat Robertson has weighed in on this again. I heard Tom Hartman describing it earlier today. He is silently now, because he got so much trouble for doing it publicly and overtly, he's silently predicting the death or resignation of another Supreme Court justice.
This is his third hit of the Supreme Court that he's put out.
Right.
He's worse than the Ayatollah and their fatwas.
And so they have this dream scenario where these cases are going to percolate up through the circuit courts, and that there'll be enough difference between Mississippi and South Dakota that the Supreme Court will be forced to take the case to reconcile different decisions made at the lower court level. So that's the strategy.
We're hoping it blows up in their face, aren't we, Peter?
Well, we certainly are, but you know, given the weakness of the Democrats, given that they didn't see the urgency of blocking the Alito confirmation, it's hard to imagine that they've got enough powder stored up that they'll actually use in a confirmation hearing on Pat Robertson's timeline.
I know how to solve this whole problem. Here's my suggestion. We need to decide that we're going to vote on people's performance after they've been in office. And we either give them $1 million, you know, reward for their work, or we use the guillotine on them if we decided they've damaged America in any way.
And that'll be funded by the Billy Foundation of Capitola?
I'll absolutely throw in $1 million to do that for
great.
My state.
All right,
but
Billy.
But you got to let me have the guillotine if we decide that they didn't do their job. And by the way, none of them almost today are holding up their end because they're still standing up for the least democratic thing in the world, gerrymandering.
Yeah. Thanks, Billy.
Thanks, Bud.
You get the last word. I'm glad you called. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be back at you again tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m., with another fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I hope you'll join us then. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. House panel Republicans split with the White House over who should be allowed to control U.S. ports. Correspondent Bob Fuss was on Capitol Hill when a key vote came down today.
With Republican leaders joining Democrats and defying President Bush, a key committee voted 62-2 to kill the Dubai ports deal, attaching a measure to do that to a must-pass bill that pays for the war in Iraq and reconstruction from Katrina. Tennessee Republican Zach Womp says a company owned by the Dubai government has no business operating American ports.
They boycott Israel. Two is they recognize the Taliban. Three, they had participants in the 9/11 hijacking.
Senate Republican leader Bill Frist is trying to hold off on action there, but Democrats keep pressing for a vote. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Zakarias Moussaoui's sentencing trial, his own questioning of a witness may work against him. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato is covering the case of the only person charged in this country in the 9/11 attacks.
Quite an unusual scene here as one Muslim radical cross-examined another in an American courtroom. Moussaoui was acting as his own lawyer when government witness Faiz Abu Bakr Bafana was videotaped in 2002. Bafana testified he met a man in Malaysia called John who described a dream of flying a plane into the White House and discussed going to the U.S. for flight training. He looks exactly like you, Bafana told Moussaoui during cross-examination. I'm sure it's you. Moussaoui questioned the man's credibility, for instance, focusing on an agreement that says Bafana's testimony wouldn't be used against him. Bafana repeatedly denies making such a deal. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
In Texas, at the Enron trial of Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling, a key prosecution witness is under grueling cross-examination. Former chief financial officer Andrew Fastow, who has linked the two defendants to massive fraud at the company, he's been questioned about allowing his own wife to go to prison and involving his own children in the scandal. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Fastow knew it was going to be this ugly, and so did prosecutors, and that's because he's so crucial to the defense here for both Skilling and Lay. If jurors believe Fastow's testimony when the cross-examination is done, the prosecution's entire case is glued together. So it's out of necessity and desperation that the attorneys are going after Fastow as aggressively as they are.
The mystery of those church fires in Alabama last month may have been solved, Governor Bob Riley.
We believe this is an isolated instance. We don't think that there is any type of conspiracy against organized religion.